Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is episode number 12. I'm your host, Travis, and once again, I have my good friend, Xavier. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be back.
Yeah, you are. Actually, I'm over here in the Houston area. You're in San Antonio, so thanks for doing this over the phone with me. Appreciate it.
It's very futuristic.
Yeah, telephone van.
Telephone.
All right, man. How you been lately, man?
Well, you're using some gadget to record it, so that's kind of futuristic. I don't know.
Yeah, we're doing a whole podcast. Not even in the same room. We're in the same city. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess like conference calls are not exact. You know, that's kind of an old thing, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're on the right show for it, though. So there you go.
Yeah. Everything's impressive to me.
So you've been doing all right, man?
Yeah, I've been doing good. Enjoying the holiday season.
Are you now?
Not really, but.
All right.
Subtle attempted segue.
Well, of course, before we get into the topic of the show, thanks once again, everybody, for tuning in, hitting the download button. If you want to follow us, you can do us at facebook.com/popculturerewind or follow us on the Twitter machine at popculturerwnd. You can also find us on iTunes and the Stitcher Radio app. So just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Hit the subscribe button and download all our episodes. So thanks again. You can also find our episodes directly on the website at popculturerewind.podbean.com. So all that being said, thanks again. And this episode is it's really close to Christmas, so I figured, what the heck? Why not do a Christmas-themed episode?
It's the season.
Yeah, tis the season, right? So, but in the interest of time and interest, I figured we'd kind of narrow down more specific to, what the heck, pop culture nostalgia and whatnot. Because during the Christmas time, there are plenty of, specials, TV shows, movies, that always come out every year that are pretty much a staple of, I guess, Americana, really. I mean, they had to do marathons of movies and TV shows and special episodes of certain shows. So, you know what I'm talking about, man? You know, it's just a...
Oh, yeah. Some of these have been playing for, like, decades, the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's get on to it, man. I know there's a few go-to Christmas movies that I know I always watch, just the fact that I grew up on them, just growing up, and my mom watched them, so, you know, by default, I watched them, you know. But what about you, man? What, you know, are there any good, go-to Christmas movies?
Well, I'm just going to get it out the way because we can't not talk about it.
Okay,
but
all right.
It is a Christmas Story.
Yes, yeah.
To me, that is the, like, at least for my generation, even though it's probably pretty old, like, well, I don't know. Even though it takes place back in the day, I don't think it's actually that old.
No, but early 80s, I think it came out.
I think it was when it was made, even though as a kid, I literally thought it was a really old movie. Because it took place in, like, the 50s or something like that, it seemed. And I thought I was watching a movie that was, like, 30 years old. For years, I thought it was an old movie. Like, I thought my parents were watching this movie for years. Yeah. So it, you know... But again, I was a little kid. I didn't, you know, we didn't have IMDb. I didn't know.
Yeah, thank God you said that first. Okay, yeah, I was the same way, man. I thought that was from the 50s, you know, when I was growing up. So
yeah. I didn't check the year during the credits because it always came on. Like, that movie, I don't think I'm ever going to own it on DVD because it always comes on TV. And it's like, why bother buying it when you know it's just going to air? Because I only watch it at Christmas time, too. So
yeah.
And I'll probably never own that movie, but it's a classic.
That's funny you say that, because those are very valid points. That being said, I actually own it on DVD.
I've been wanting to download it lately just to have it, like, just in my library in a hard drive somewhere. But I'm like, why? I'm not going to ever watch it other than Christmas time.
The only time, like you said, it comes on is Christmas time. That's really the only time you really want to watch it.
But I think it was TBS would play it, like, all day long, like just 24 hours straight of A Christmas Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe it was TNT. I don't know which one.
No, you're right. TBS, they've been doing it for the last several years, and I would imagine they're going to do this year too, where it's a 24-hour marathon from Christmas Eve all the way through Christmas Day, from like 8 to 8.
You know what's become like the modern-day Christmas Story for like a new generation? I think it's Elf. Because that's the thing I've noticed they do marathons of. Like, they play the hell out of Elf.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
I think for the new generation, it's becoming their Christmas Story. I love Elf too, though. That's a really funny movie. That's the one that kind of turned me around on Will Ferrell. I used to hate him.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was on SNL?
Yeah, too much of him is just, yeah, he gets on my nerves sometimes. But yeah, in doses, yeah, he can be good. But
Elf was the first time I was like, wow, I actually like that dude, even though I only knew him from SNL. But Elf's another good one. So what's one you remember watching as a kid?
Well, man, besides Christmas Story, I also grew up on, there's two major classics that I, like I said, I had to watch them pretty much.
I bet I know what one of them is.
It's A Wonderful Life.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that one and Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, and they have to be the black and white classics. They cannot be the colorized versions.
Is it the one with the Jurassic Park guy? Not that one?
No.
Okay. Have you seen that one?
No. Well, because I know Miracle on 34th Street, man, that's been remade several times. I don't think they've ever touched It's a Wonderful Life as far as a remake or anything.
Yeah. It's been, like, redone in, like, taped, like, television. Everybody sort of not spoofed it, but, like, paid homage to it.
Yeah.
That plot of It's a Wonderful Life, like so many, like Married with Children, Tiny Toons. I got to get tons of shows taking that prep.
Yeah.
Nobody straight up tried to tackle it and remake it. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard there was a rumor that they were going to make a sequel to it. Like, this was like a few months ago I heard this. The sequel, it's actually a sequel, not a reboot or anything. And, it was actually going to be based around. What was his daughter's name? Zulu or I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
The youngest girl who was sick or whatever. It was going to be based around her. Like, she was an adult or her grandson or something like that. I don't know. It was still the same lineage of that. So, I don't know. I wouldn't watch it, but I don't know.
That would blow your mind, dude. I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street.
Really? Like, at all?
I know of them. No. Yeah. I mean, I've seen pieces. And, like, you know, I flip in channels, and I'm like, what is this movie? And then I watch it for a second, like, oh, okay, I recognize Jimmy Stewart. Oh, It's a Wonderful Life, and then I change it. I've seen pieces, and I know what they're about, you know, over the years, but I've never actually sat down all the way through and watched either of those movies.
Yeah, wow. For the longest time, I didn't watch, like, I didn't know about the first half of It's a Wonderful Life. I just thought it started off with him already as an adult or young adult, whatever. But there's like a whole story before that because they have to go back and revisit it after everything happens, you know, to them and everything. But, it's funny. One thing I do remember about It's a Wonderful Life, oddly enough, is, and I'm sure you know I'm talking about this, there was a skit on Saturday Night Live, back the classic stuff from the 80s. It was Phil Hartman was in it, Dana Carvey. That crew that they were doing the spoof of it. And yeah, you're right. and it was the spoof they did was classic, you know, SNL stuff on it, but I always equate that to the actual movie itself. So I don't know. I guess that's a long lasting effect of that one skit that they did. So
did they have like the two stars glowing and talking to each other? You know, like it starts out with like, there's like these two stars, and they're, like, glowing, but it's, like, two angels having a discussion.
Oh, I don't think
like that
so.
Visual, I saw it spoofed in a lot of things before I ever figured out, oh, is that what they're doing? It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. I remember Beavis and Butthead had a It's a Wonderful Life thing where some angel tried to, he was trying to convince them, like, the world would be better without them, but they were too stupid to get, like, what was going on.
Now, that I believe, yeah.
Yeah. And, like I said, Tiny Toons did it also with the two little stars glowing and stuff. And again, I was like, I don't get, like, I've seen this thing a lot. And then one day I figured out, like, oh, it's the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life, which, like I said, I've still never seen.
Well, I mean, obviously, they're both worth the watch to a good sit through at least once in your life.
one day.
Yeah, so those were.
I'll have to watch it with somebody, or I'll have to let somebody like convince me to watch it or something. But I can't imagine me by myself. So let me pop this movie in.
Yeah.
Some motivation.
There's one. Obviously, it's a classic Christmas movie, but it's so. It's inspired so many, I don't want to say knockoffs, but the same type of story, just revision to different characters or whatever, but a Christmas Carol.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say. Okay, to you, what is your, like, favorite, I guess, for lack of a better word, version of that?
There's actually two. There's my first go-to, actually, it's kind of funny. I don't know. Maybe it's funny. I don't know. But there was a Disney version of it. It was animated with Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in years, though, but I remember being, like, a little kid, yeah, liking that one a lot.
For a long time, I thought that was, like, as a kid, I thought that was, like, the one, the original one. I didn't know that was...
Oh, you thought everything else was...
Yeah.
Ripping off that? You didn't know it was
a book? Until I saw the original movie. God, who was in that movie, the original one?
Which original movie? You gotta
the original know. The original Christmas Carol. I can't remember.
Like, was it black and white? I don't even know if I've seen that one. I think I've seen, like...
There's been so many versions of that movie, man. But what about
one version that I really love of the Christmas Carol is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
That was another good
with
one.
With Michael Caine.
Yeah,
that one's really good, too. That one's a lot of fun. Did you see that the one that came out like a few years ago with the one that Robert Zemeckis did with Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey, yeah. That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I don't know why Bob, he's been doing these CGI movies, but they don't look that good. They have the dead eyes. The animation's kind of eh. And even this one, the animation is still a little clunky, but it's really well done, and it's actually, like, really faithful. A few years ago, I finally actually sat down and read the Dickens version.
Oh, really?
That version is really good. Yeah. It's not as good as the Saved by the Bell episode, where Zach was dating that homeless chick, and then they performed it in the mall. Do you remember that one?
Oh, God, yeah.
The Screech with Scrooge. Screech with Scrooge.
Yeah.
That was a terrible episode.
Yeah.
And he kept like plugging the clothing store that the homeless chick worked at. Movie store for men. Yeah. But another good version of Christmas Carol, it count, is Scrooged. Bill Murray?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I like that one a lot too.
You know, it's funny, I have this, you'll probably be surprised what I'm gonna say. To what you said earlier, I haven't seen that movie from beginning to end. I've seen bits and pieces of it. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I have not sat down and watched the whole thing.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, that movie.
The bits I've seen are funny, but I don't know. You know what? It's on. It's on Netflix, and I actually threw it on my queue. So this season.
Check it out sometime this month.
Yeah, this season.
I think it holds up. I think because it's a classic tale, so of course it holds up. And Bill Murray's this was back in the day. What year did that movie come out? Like early 90s, like 1990-ish, something like that, when he was really funny.
It's like 92, 93, somewhere in there.
I don't think it was that old.
Hmm. Okay.
88.
Wow. Okay.
Or not, I said I don't think it was that new. I'm sorry. Yeah. 88. Dang, I didn't realize it was that old though.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it came out early 90s, but yeah.
Well, I know Richard Donner, who directed it, he did Scrooge in between, like, Lethal Weapon 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it's got like all of Bill Murray's brothers in it, like all three of them.
Oh, does it? Okay.
It's really funny.
Huh.
Yeah, well, I would recommend Scrooged for sure. Show.
Just to anybody, huh? Just recommend that just as a general recommendation.
It's just a good, like in my head, of all the good Bill Murray movies, they're mostly the older ones.
Yeah.
I would love Scrooge in there with, you know, if you said, like, name your top Bill Murray movies, I'd probably throw Scrooge in there. I think it's funny. It's at the end of the movie, it gets a little cheesy when he's, like, you know, when he's in the post, I'm happy and I'm not a grumpy guy anymore kind of scene. It gets a little cheesy. But it's still really funny. And Carol Kane's in it. She's really good.
I guess it's kind of hard not to get kind of cheesy at the end of any Christmas Carol story because it's all, I don't know, new lease on life type thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was one that we, I think last time I we hung out, I think we mentioned National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar. I think I saw it once when it was like brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never gotten, it's not like I don't want to. It's not like they play it. Maybe they do play it on TV, but I just know it's never come across my path in years.
That's interesting because you're a big National Lampoon dude as far as the Chevy Chase vacation movies, right?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. I probably know European Vacation best and then regular Vacation and then Vegas and then Christmas one is like the least.
I recently went back and watched, rewatched European Vacation. Oh, God, it's so good.
So 80s.
Right.
Like when they get all the money and then they go off and they splurge on clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, they buy the worst clothing ever. They're like, you look good. I feel good. And they're 80s clothes. God, they're awful. But Eric Idle's in that movie. He's got a few recurring bits.
Yeah, that was a funny movie. Anyway.
Okay, I was going to mention a Christmas movie that's not thought of as a Christmas movie, but to me is a Christmas movie, as Gremlins.
Yes.
To me, that movie says Christmas time. Like, it's all over the movie. It's all over the movie. It's just because it's a horror movie with people dying that people forget it's a Christmas movie. But I think that's a Christmas movie. And I think it should get more rotation in December.
I think it should. I totally agree. And it is a Christmas movie. And me and my wife, Nancy, we watch it all the time. Yeah, Christmas time.
Yeah, it's like Die Hard. People don't want to call that. That's a Christmas movie.
That is a Christmas
movie. Both of them. The first two Die Hards. But Die Hard does seem to get rotation in December, but Gremlins never does.
I wonder why. I guess because some of the visuals in there, because it is a horror type movie. It's funny. We actually got into a debate about that on one of the episodes of Deep in the Horror of Texas, another podcast that you can check out.
Yeah.
we were talking about. We said is Gremlins a horror movie or would you consider it a family movie? And of course, it got voted out as a horror movie. But just the debate was there that
y'all voted that it was considered a horror movie.
Yeah. But you know, the whole thing in that was like, if you remember going to the video stores and things like that, you look for Gremlins and it'd be in the family section. But there's some, I don't know, there's some special effects and some scenes like deaths and things like that in there. It's a horror movie.
I guess, you know, I think it kind of falls under both.
Yeah.
It kind of like transcends that genre to be, it's got its foot in both camps.
Yeah. To where it's not too much of a horror movie, but, and it's not too cheesy as a family movie. So
yeah, you got supernatural monsters killing people. I mean, that's enough to put it as a horror movie,
right?
I think that's all you need.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely to your point. Yeah. It's definitely a Christmas movie. I definitely consider that a Christmas movie. Die Hard, you know, obviously, with the setting of that being in Christmas time.
Not because we get together, have a Christmas turkey. I mean, right there in the line.
Are there some other ones that you can think of that aren't necessarily Christmas movies that you equate it with Christmas?
The first Lethal Weapon kind of took a place around Christmas time.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, when Gary Busey's, you know, he drives his car through Murtaugh's house.
Uh-huh,
and the TV's on. And it's that scene in Christmas Carol when somebody's like, Issa, what day is it? And he shoots the TV. It's goddamn Christmas. in the very first scene when we meet Riggs, he's in the little Christmas tree lot, you know, doing the drug deal or whatever.
That is true, yeah.
So Christmas is kind of like a constant vibe throughout that whole movie, too.
Yeah, man, I totally didn't think about that, but yeah, they should play that on Christmas time, too. Yeah, screw it.
Right? For real.
Play, it's a marathon. You're going to play Lethal Weapon next to Die Hard. That's what you're going to do, yeah.
Holy, oh God.
Why doesn't, TNT or somebody do that? I'm sure, I don't know why they can't.
I was going to start a whole new debate. Like, what is the better action movie for you? Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, that's a whole other podcast.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah, okay. We can veer off all.
Now we're getting into action movies and what's a better.
No, dude. I'm definitely going to have you back on for a later show for action movies, definitely.
Big Tim. You know what we should do? We should do an episode just dedicated to Arnold. In light of this new movie, Arnold's trying to get back in the game, you know, as an action star.
That is true, yeah.
Is he relevant? Can he still pull it off? What are some of his, you know, I think Arnold alone could sustain a whole episode.
Oh, definitely, yeah. At least for our childhood growing up and everything, today he's still making action movies, so hell yeah, dude. Yeah, we can do that.
For better or worse, he is.
Right. For better. Hey!
Okay, we're really getting off topic, though.
Actually,
I wanted to ask you. Oh, what?
Well, I was going to say, real quick, since you just mentioned Arnold, what about Jingle All the Way?
Oh, God, Jingle All the Way. Jingle All the Way. Conan O'Brien used to do a bit. Remember when he would have, like, a picture of a celebrity and only the mouth was moving?
Oh, yeah. He hasn't done that in a long time, but, yeah, his old show, he did that.
It was a bit he used to do, and every time he would have Arnold, the Arnold version that he would have would constantly be trying to talk about his classic Jingle All the Way. He was always plugged in Jingle All the Way like it was his best movie, like he was so proud of it.
That was the old
like
Conan,
running
right?
gag.
When it was on NBC, right?
Yeah, way back in the day. Every time I hear the Jingle All the Way, I say it, Jingle All the Way, because the guy did a terrible Arnold impersonation, but it was funny. You know, I haven't seen that movie in so long, and it probably doesn't hold up. It's probably really stupid, but when I saw it in the theater, I think I was working at the theater. I remember thinking it was funny.
You know, it's funny you say that it does. It might not hold up, but the idea of everybody going crazy after a stupid toy, I mean, that is still going on today, I would think. I mean, there's always the big thing that someone's always trying to get every year for their children, right? So I guess the concept would still hold up. Right, I guess.
I it probably does. I don't know. Maybe it does hold up. I've been scared to watch it because I'm afraid. Because I really remember liking it like a lot, and thinking it was funny. And then, I was really into Sinbad at the time, and I remember liking that movie.
Sinbad was on a roll for about 6 months, right? And then he just I don't know.
There was a period of the mid-90s. Like he was always around in the 80s, but there was a period of the mid-90s where he kind of got like a surge in popularity.
I think
yeah,
I liked
like the Sinbad show. And
yeah. I did like a stand-up, and I did like what was that movie he did with Phil Hartman? House Guest or
House Guest? Yeah. That was part of his big the Sinbad show.
Yeah, I think the combination of him and Phil Hartman, that was a good movie.
House Guest. That's a movie I need to go back and watch. I think I saw it in the theaters also. I've just seen it since. Can't go all the way. Okay, what are some television specials? We've been talking about movies a lot. What are some TV specials that come around every year that you fondly remember?
You know what? I don't know if I'm going to steal your thunder or anything, but there's an episode of Married with Children that I think of. Sam Kinison with taking out.
It's a Wonderful Life episode?
Yeah.
I guess that's what he was doing.
That's what he's doing.
Two-parter.
Yeah. Seeing how, it was pretty much the same thing what you said about what Beavis and Butthead is like how great everybody's life was without without him, and he didn't want to see them successful, so he
was supposed to show Al, how a reason to live, but it failed it backfired.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, buddy. I was supposed to show you why a reason why you should live, but I can't think of one good reason or something like that. But then it turned out Al, he didn't want his family to be happy. He goes, you think I'm going to let that happen after what they put me through? I want to live. And then he decided to live.
Yeah, reruns of Married to Children come on all the time. Maybe I should check it out and see if they're going to be playing that episode sometime soon. But
I was going to say, I thought it was a different episode, but I think it's the same episode because it was a two-parter. Like, he had saved up money to buy them all presents, and then he goes to the bank, and they closed early, and he couldn't get the presents, right? Is that the same episode?
You know what? I don't think it is, because I think they did more than one Christmas episode, because I think that Sam Kinison one was... Yeah, I think the Sam Kinison was its own two-parter by itself, and I think it was the year before, 2 years before, they did that episode that you're talking about.
But the Sam Kinison, he didn't show up until the very, very end of the first episode.
Right,
and he's like, I'm your guardian angel, because I'm going to show you your life, and he snaps his fingers, and the door opens, and then it's to be continued.
Well, if it wasn't
the first episode.
Yeah. If it wasn't that episode...
Nazi's drunk in the bank, and everybody's throwing money, and Al's like banging on the door, like, let me in, and they close the gate on him, and he can't get the money to buy presents.
Yeah, yeah. I know what episode you're talking about. I just can't think if that was the same episode or not. Well, there you go.
And then in a funny... Peggy has a new husband, and it's not Jefferson, but it's Ted McGinley who ended up playing Jefferson, but he was her husband in that episode years before he was actually cast.
That's right.
Just a funny, like, hey. Because he came in, and the audience applauded, because, you know, that's what 90s audiences did. But it wasn't because he was Jefferson, just because he was Ted McGinley from shit, but...
Right. Yeah, I know they've done more than one episode like that. So if it's not the same one, we apologize, but we know what we're talking about. We're just getting mixed up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk kind of like the way I said A Christmas Story. Like, you got to mention this is Simpsons roasting on an open fire. The Simpsons, the iconic Christmas Simpsons episode, the first Simpsons episode, they got Santa's Little Helper, all that stuff from '89, and they still play that one sometimes on Fox. They'll air that episode.
Yeah. Okay.
And every once in a while, like, I catch it.
Yeah. God, there's so much good stuff that came out of that episode. Good Lord. It's just, as far as Simpsons goes, it's probably one of the best ones, honestly. But what are some of the takeaways that you have from that one?
The Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Lady. Like, I remember I was, like, so excited. Like, oh, my God. Like, we sing that at school.
Right. Yeah.
It was really cool to hear it, like, you know, being validated, like, oh my God, it's on network TV, the song that I thought that our friends came up with, but I guess we didn't, I guess.
Right.
I think something like that catches on and spreads throughout the country.
I don't even know,
like,
what the origin is.
Like the mid-80s, because, I mean, I remember us singing this when we were kids.
Yeah.
And then remember that episode of Batman, the animated series? Again, it was a really old episode. Joker,
He took over the TV, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to blow up a train, and his henchmen, Jingle Bells, Batman, so they started singing it too, and again, I was precise, like in that too. Like, there's that sound again.
That was a good one, because Joker was in a sweater, like a TV host.
Yeah. And he was going to blow up the train, and then the reporter, Summer Gleason, she's like, my mother's on that train, and I forget what he's going to say, but he's going to blow it up anyway, and she starts crying. And he's laughing, and I'm like, wow, he that's still pretty cold. You know, he's going to blow up as her mom, and she's crying, he's laughing. You know, that's still pretty mean for a kid's cartoon.
Right. What else is there?
I've never seen a Charlie Brown Christmas, or whatever it's called.
Get out of here, really?
It comes on all the time. Yeah, like, it comes on the other, like, a week ago, I was flipping channels, and I saw that it was on, but I've never actually sat and watched it. I never really liked Charlie Brown and Snoopy and all that. I never got the big deal with that. I've never seen It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, or any of the other specials.
Wow, that's weird. Just because for me as a kid, just as far as classic animation, that was just a staple. That was always around, because you only saw it at certain times, but you always saw it was the Peanut specials, the Charlie Brown. Especially the Christmas one. I mean, I'm surprised you never seen those. Oh,
I mean, yeah, I've had plenty of opportunities in my life. I just was like, eh. I don't know what it was. Charlie Brown was, they never spoke to me as my name.
Yeah.
Like, as far as Sunday comics go, I never even liked reading them. I read, like, Garfield and Calvin and Hobbes. And, oh, Garfield had a Christmas special that kind of stopped playing years ago. But it was a Garfield Christmas special.
Was there?
Yeah. Like, John, I guess, his family was like, you know, they lived more out in the country, farmers kind of stuff, and they went out to the country and he took Garfield, and it was a good episode, or it was a good Christmas special. But, yeah, they played it for a few years in the 90s, and then it kind of just stopped.
Was it part of the cartoon, or was it something else?
No, it was. I think it was, like, before that, actually. Or maybe, to be honest, I don't even remember, because I think Lorenzo Music was the voice still. Maybe it was part of that whole thing. To be honest, I don't remember. I could probably research it and figure out, you know, what year the cartoon aired, what year that thing aired.
Maybe I've seen it. I'm drawing a blank on it.
Because I remember, because it was based on a little book. Remember those little books that were like 4 inches tall and then like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like 7 inches. Well, those little books.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was one of them, and it was. There was like a whole series of them that were like little bitty adventures. When Garfield goes to Hollywood, Garfield Halloween special, Garfield it was a Christmas story, and then they turned that into a cartoon. They turned the Halloween one into a cartoon too.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good.
No, I actually
were producing these half-hour specials based on books that were already written.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually have a coffee table of all. It's a reprint of all the Christmas comic strips from Garfield. So. We just put that out on a coffee table every Christmas time. It's our Christmas decorations. There you go.
You have coffee table books.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know what else I've never seen really all the way through probably is Rudolph.
Oh, those are the other ones. Yeah. That's
something that comes on every year, and I flip the channels and I see it's on and I'll watch it for a minute, but I'm like, and I change it. I've never really like sat and watched Rudolph entirely. Maybe they showed it to us in elementary or something. I don't know.
You know, it's funny that the only way I've seen these, the classic ones, like the Rudolph and the Santa Claus is Coming to Town, those classic little clay claymation ones, stop motion animation ones, and then like the Charlie Brown Christmas and everything. The only way I saw those was really just on when they would come on. I think CBS would always play them, or ABC, or one of those regular channels would always play them. And that's the only way I saw them. So, to sit through all of them, the Rudolph, I don't know if I ever actually, you know, come to think of it. I'm not sure if I actually sat down and watched the whole thing. If I did, it was when I was a kid. And I don't remember actually doing that, but.
They were showing to us in school.
Yeah,
and speaking of it, there's one that I've been saving, and I'm surprised we haven't talked about it yet. And it's probably my favorite one is The Grinch.
Yeah.
Okay.
The original.
I'm
going
quiet. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Not the fucking Jim Carrey.
Okay.
The original Dr. Seuss animated Chuck Jones, Boris Karloff, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Yes, that one.
Yeah.
That's a classic. That's one I have it on VHS somewhere. I think I rented it and dubbed it just because I was like, I want that saved in my like video library. It's so good.
Yeah,
I've never seen the Jim Carrey one because it was like fuck that. No, the Grinch is perfect, pure. I don't want to get it tainted with.
Yeah,
the trailers look dumb.
Yeah, I didn't see the Jim Carrey one. But...
I'm not shitting on the movie because I've never seen it. I'm just saying I've never had a desire to see it because the original one. The voice work in it, the animation is so good.
It's a classic as is. You don't want to see it tarnished. So yeah.
Boris Karloff doing the voice, everything, the music, so much fun. You know, so good. And yeah, like I said, the great Chuck Jones did it. So
yeah. I can't say much for the Jim Carrey one. Although I will say for being live action, I personally. Think that the makeup and prosthetics and everything they used for Jim Carrey to turn him into the Grinch, I personally think they did as best of jobs they could have done to make a realistic looking Grinch.
I think Rick Baker did that.
I think he did too. Yeah, I think you're right.
So that guy, everything he touches is like brilliant.
Right. There's no such thing as a bad Rick Baker job.
For real, man. there's very few people in the industry you could honestly say like he's the best at what he does in that field, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in this case, like, who's the best composer? Who's the best? It's hard to say, but in the term of makeup, it's almost like a no-brainer to anybody who knows anything about makeup, and it's probably him. And if you ask, like, all the other contemporary makeup people working today, like Greg and Nicotero and all them, they'll all probably say, yeah, Rick Baker.
Or at least they inspired him to do whatever they do, or he's got some kind of, he's got a presence in that field for sure.
For real, yeah.
Real quick, we mentioned this a few minutes ago, but the movie I mentioned before, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, that was the 1970 little stop motion animation one. That the reason I liked that one, it was a Rankin Bass movie, but the reason I liked that one was the fact that they did an origin story of Santa Claus, which is kind of funny how they kind of put everything into like a continuity story storyline. So I don't know if you haven't actually watched that one, I'd probably just recommend just give it a shot. At the very least.
It's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look into it.
And there's something else.
Maybe it's on YouTube or something. Who knows? You know what, there's another Christmas movie that I forgot. But they've been showing the sequel on Home Alone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good Christmas movie. And I like the first Home Alone, but they've been showing the second one on AMC like a lot lately.
The second
and I've been catching it in bits. For some reason, they've been showing the second Home Alone on AMC, like, a lot. And I've been catching bits and pieces of it. And I forgot how much that second one sucked. It was like, it would talk about, holy shit, this movie made money. We need a second one now, even though there's no point in the second one.
Right, you know? Yeah. I mean, how many times can you lose a kid?
First off, there's that. And then he conveniently wound up in New York with the same burglars.
Yeah,
and he, you know, instead of the old guy with the snow shovel, he meets the old lady with the pigeons in the park, and he learns the exact same lesson that he learned in the first one about, like, you know, don't judge a book kind of a thing. It's like, because when he first sees the pigeon lady, he's all like, scared and runs away. Like, didn't you just learn last year to not do that? You know, it's the exact same fucking movie. Fuck Home Alone 2. But the first one, I remember watching the fuck out of that first movie as a kid. I remember literally, like, falling out of my seat laughing when I saw the first one in the theater.
Yeah, I remember I was there, packed theater, when it first came out. I was there opening weekend, and, it was hilarious. To me, I think I was, like, what year that came out? 91, 92, something like that?
Because I think I was...
90. So I was about 10 years old. So, that was... hilarious, because, you know, as a kid, we're kids, so, you know, it's...
we were, like, the exact... Well, I forgot how old he was supposed to be, but... he was 10, right? I'm 10 years old. You think my parents leave me here? Well, yeah, I think we were, like, the exact same age.
Yeah.
And we were, like... It spoke to us, how cool would it be to be left home alone, and...
Right.
And then it was like... Yeah.
He's like, well, he could do that stuff, so I could do that stuff.
Yeah. And Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci were both so funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. It's funny because as a kid, you like it for Macaulay Culkin's performance and the stuff he's doing, his jokes that he's getting out. But when you watch it as an adult, I know for me, I like it for Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm watching, I'm like, I hate Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
That little bastard. But, like, to this day, that scene where Daniel Stern is walking up the stairs barefoot, there's a nail sticking up, that is, I turn away, I can't even watch that scene, it's still,
that's pretty just, bad.
Oh, that's gnarly.
Yeah, I could take, like, gruesome horror, you know.
I could watch Saw.
Yeah, right?
And be like, this is fine, whatever. The guy's getting his head ripped open or whatever the fuck, I don't know. But yeah, that scene is that haunts me. That fucking nail. Mm.
Things like that, or like someone getting a shot like with a needle. I can't watch any of that kind of crap. So
In Pulp Fiction, when he's got that needle over her, I remember being like, because I hate needles. That's like, mm-hmm. I'll admit it, I'm a real big pussy when it comes to needles. Oh, I always got so... Speaking of Pulp Fiction, there's another movie that came out right around the same time, I remember, because I would buy tickets for this movie and then sneak into Pulp Fiction. The Santa Claus.
Oh, Tim Allen.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie, but I remember at the time thinking it was pretty good.
For the time when it came out, yeah, I did like it. I'm kind of afraid to go back and rewatch that one.
Yeah, like I haven't sat and watched that movie.
Did you watch any sequels, part two or part three?
Again, they've been showing the sequels on TV a lot lately, and I don't even know which one, if it's two or three. It's probably two, because I haven't noticed Marty Short anywhere, but it looks dumb.
Part three was the one with Martin Short, and I'm afraid to even watch that one. I've never watched that one. I have yet to see that one. So, I don't know. I think I saw part one and part two. That's about it, though, for me.
I don't think I saw two or three, but I remember, again, like I said, it might not hold up, but at the time, I was still fairly young. I remember thinking it was all right. I enjoyed it.
It's funny. We were talking earlier about Jingle All the Way, and as I'm doing the podcast, I'm talking to you, I have my TV on mute in the background, and I saw a commercial for Jingle All the Way 2 starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, God, I've seen advertisements for that.
It looks like no connection at all. I don't know how they're even saying that's Jingle All the Way 2. I don't know.
Well, like, if you're going to, like, make a shitty unofficial sequel, that movie is like, 17... It came out, like, 97.
Right.
I mean, it was, like, 18 years... Who the fuck is going to remember Jingle All the Way 1?
Right.
Who would give a shit that it's a sequel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to try and sell it on name recognition, anybody who remembers the original Jingle All the Way is going to know better that it has nothing to do with it. So why the fuck do you even bother, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't get it. Like, the logic behind that.
And just the scene that they were showing in the commercial, I was like, that doesn't say Jingle All the Way 2 at all to me at all. I don't know where they're... I don't know, whatever.
I'm glad that Larry the Cable Guy is reduced to shit like this, because I hate that dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you're getting shitty, like, Hallmark Channel, ABC Family, shitty sequel movies, like, like Santa Baby 2 with Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, God. I never even saw that. Well, I know what you're talking about, because I hear commercials about it, but... Jenny McCarthy, ugh. I mean, I'm sure she's going to look at it.
Here's a question for you. I don't know if this is a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie.
I know you're going with this.
But which is it to you? And I'm going to say it's a Christmas. I think it skewers more on the side of Christmas than Halloween, even though it's very Halloween-y, is, of course, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
What would you say it falls under for you?
Oh, man, that's a... Can you vary it out more than the other one? It's like kind of, to me, it's kind of, maybe it is more Christmassy than horror, because it just has the Halloween town, you know, Halloween's setting.
Well,
but
it's all the characters, Christmas, though, Halloween characters, but they're all, it's all about Christmas.
Christmas,
the big climax of the film takes place at Christmas. They're stealing Christmas. They're doing all that stuff. They just happen to be Halloween people.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, I guess it is more of a Christmas movie than a Halloween movie. But, I watch it both at... You can watch it both at Halloween or Christmas time, really.
So. Yeah, but, like, I guess if you had to come down, like, you know, gun to your head one side or the other, I would say it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and now that I'm actually
thinking about it... It's like 51%, really,
Yeah, I never actually, like, compared it to, like, which one is it more of, but yeah, now that you're making me think about it, I'm going to say, yeah, it's more of a Christmas movie than a Halloween movie. But it's very close, though.
Anyways, have you seen any of these, like, shitty Christmas movies where, I can't even think of them, but there's, like, a lot of them that just come out at Christmas. There's, like, that one with Ben Affleck, and there's one with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito, and there's, like, Christmas with the Cranks, or,
Four Christmases.
Four Christmases, Deck the Hall. There's one that's out now with Joel McHale and Robin Williams. You know.
Oh, yeah. I saw a commercial for it.
They're just like shitty Christmas movies. They're like shitty, like there's like one, I want to say it has like Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, you're right.
There's just like a, like.
Is that the Deck the Halls? People. That's Deck the Halls, isn't it?
Is that Deck the Halls? I don't even know because I don't watch any of them.
It's like they just crank them out like one after another, like every once a year, just to have a Christmas movie.
Just because they know that, you know, families are in town, they want to go to the theater to see something that's safe for the whole family kind of thing. And it's like there's just a ton of these like shitty Christmas movies.
Yeah, there was one with Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I think that's Christmas the Cranks.
Oh yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I was thinking
that was on TV. I saw that at like I was at a restaurant eating some wings one year and it was on. I caught like 30 minutes of it. There's like no way into watching this shit.
The Ben Affleck one, is that the one that also had James Gandolfini in it? Or is that a different one I'm thinking of?
I just remember it was back when when his career was still a little shaky.
Yeah.
And it had something to do with, like, you know, shitty neighbors at Christmas or kind of... That's always the plot, too. It always has to do with, like, shitty neighbors or shitty families coming into town or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was called Surviving Christmas.
I think you're right, yeah.
Him, Christina Applegate, James Gandolfini.
Hey, okay, yeah.
A lonely, obnoxious young millionaire pays a family to spend Christmas with him. See, that's just like a shitty Christmas plot. It's one of these, it's just a staple every year. You got some, and I guess this year it was the Joel McHale, Robin Williams one, but I don't want to shit on that movie.
Yeah.
Certainly the grease is still too near.
Yeah. He's not responsible for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I'm sure he's...
I mean, I guess if I was Joel McHale and they said, do you want to do a shitty Christmas movie? I'd be like, no. Robin Williams is in it. How much are they going to pay me?
Yeah.
I would do a shitty movie if I was going to be with Robin Williams.
Hell yeah, dude. Or any, like, reputable actor that's... Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do a movie with Robin Williams? And I guess, obviously, he didn't give a shit what he was doing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other crappy Christmas movies that... I saw one, it was in the 80s, it was called Santa Claus the Movie. I don't remember nothing about that movie, but the fact that I was a kid and my dad took me to go to the theater and I saw it with them, and it was just boring. Even as a kid, it's a Santa Claus movie. Oh, crap. I totally forgot one of my favorite Christmas movies. I totally just realized it. Ernest Saves Christmas.
Mm. Oh, my God, yeah. I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah.
Ernest Goes to Jail is still my favorite one.
I think Ernest Goes to Camp was my favorite when I was growing up. But, yeah, Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Saves Christmas, and Ernest Goes to Jail are my top three favorite Ernest movies.
What about Ernest Scared Stupid?
It's okay, but but not compared to the first
one. I like that one. I remember me and my brother went to the movies to see it, only I went to go see Ernest Scared Stupid, and he went to go see, I want to say Necessary Roughness, with Sinbad and Scott Bakula. And then, like, afterwards, we would do that sometimes. Like, our parents would drop us off, but we didn't want to see the same movie. I think one time I went to go see the DuckTales movie, and he went to go see Men at Work with Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. That's funny, I remember that. But and there's probably going to be some fact-checking, like, hey, these weren't playing at the same time.
Yeah,
screw you, get a life. But, yeah, I remember seeing Ernest Scared Stupid by myself, and I remember being a little bit scared.
About what part?
The whole thing, like, it was, like 99% funny, but there was, like, a little bit part of it that was scaring me a little bit.
Oh, Ernest Scared Stupid? Yeah.
Ernest Scared Stupid, yeah. Like, do you remember that movie? Like, there's some trolls that...
You know, the one thing I
remember the exact plot, but
the one thing I go back to that movie on is Miak.
Yeah. It's like the L or something.
Right.
Or the L away. Was, so you're pronouncing milk wrong because the L got washed out. Miak, of course.
I think...
the only thing I remember about Ernest Saves Christmas, to be honest, is when he's on the sleigh and he stops in midair.
Air brakes.
He looks at the camera, he's like, air brakes. Which I didn't get, but I remember, like, other people laughing. Because I didn't know, like, 18-wheelers had air brakes, whatever. I need to go back and watch Ernest Saves Christmas. That's
dude,
a
I think
long
it's,
time.
I just watched it. I believe I was on Netflix, I saw it. So check Netflix. I think it's on
there. Oh, I got rid of my Netflix a little while ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did something. Netflix again.
I'm gonna get Netflix again eventually once I have some more free time. I've been really busy lately, and I was because my I got a new credit card, and then Netflix says like, hey, you know, your payment's all screwy. Update your payment, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna renew it for a little while. I'm gonna save some for the next few months because I was really busy with some stuff.
Yeah, save some dough. Yeah. So
I'm trying to think of some other Christmas specials of just like TV episodes. Like, we talked about the Save the Bell one. We talked about Married Children had a Christmas episode. I'm trying to think of, like, really iconic Christmas episodes. American Dad has gotten really good. Like, every Christmas episode for American Dad have become,
there's
like,
one you showed me. Yeah, there's
like
one
their Treehouse of Horror. You know what I mean? That's when, like, rules are out the window. They can just get crazy with our plots. You know what I mean?
There is the one that you showed me. It was the Apocalypse one. Was that it where they're...
Where he has like a hook hand and the Antichrist is running. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And they can do time travel. They can do angels. They can do just anything. They can get really out there. And American Dad's Christmas ones have become really funny.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying to think of other shows. Futurama with their whole Robot Santa.
The Robot Santa.
Those are a lot of fun. those are a lot of fun. I really enjoyed those Christmas the Futurama, with the Xmas episodes, I should say.
Yeah, that's why you like it, right? They use the X.
Yeah, I do like the I was actually going to do that bit in the beginning when you mentioned Christmas, and I was going to be like, what? Oh, you mean Xmas.
Maybe I'll put that in the title. I don't know. Huh. Well, man, I think we're getting to the end of this, man. Unless there's any other...
Right. Oh, we forgot to mention Bad Santa.
Oh, that one out there. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Freaking Bernie Mac. Jeez.
Yeah, got Bernie Mac.
I miss him.
I love that one. I guess I do, too. I heard y'all were all having a big love fest over Bernie Mac a while ago. Oh. I've never seen the Bernie Mac show.
Really? Yeah. So. They don't really play it anywhere. You can't. It's not on Netflix. Obviously, it's on reruns on TV. I doubt Hulu would have it. I don't know where else you'd really find it at. There's no. It's not on DVD. At least I don't think it is. It might be on DVD, but still, if you can stream it, you want to stream it.
Yeah,
well.
It's in my queue. I'll get to it. Do you like? It's not so much a rewind. It's like 10 years old. Love Actually, because that is a Christmas movie to me in my head, a big time. I mean, it's a bit more modern than everything we talked about, but
Love
that movie like just says Christmas. Are you kidding me? You don't know Love Actually?
It's
a romantic comedy, I guess you could say.
Who's in it?
It's British. It's like a British romantic comedy. Well, it's by the dude who did like Four Weddings and a Funeral and Bridget Jones, I think. I don't know. Bunch of those. Hugh Grant type movies.
Yeah.
This dude did it. And it's kind of like, you really don't know Love Actually. It's got like a shitload of people in it. It's got Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson.
I'm going to IMDb it real quick. Hold on. Continue. Go continue.
It's like 10 stories and they're all sort of loosely interconnected. And the whole movie takes place like the weeks building up to Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And it's got like every British actor you can think of. Yeah, Bill Nye is in it, Colin Firth,
Mr. Bean,
Martin Freeman, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Andy Lincoln from Walking Dead. Everybody always remembers this movie because it has Rick from Walking Dead. Keira Knightley's in it. Just a shitload of people. It's what I assume that movie, like Valentine's Day, Christmas Eve,
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like a shitload of celebrities with a shitload of stories all kind of around one holiday. I think those are like America trying to rip off this movie.
Oh, okay.
But this movie is actually like, it's kind of cute. It's like
I'm looking at the poster of it, and the poster looks familiar, but I've never seen it.
Really? I'm surprised the missus hasn't like forced you to watch it.
Well, shh, don't say
every
that.
Woman I know like loves this movie. Like, for real. It's like the ultimate, I don't want to call it a chick flick, but every chick I know loves it. And it's like I said, the whole movie is basically about Christmas. It takes place like the whole few weeks. So Alan Rickman's in it. And it really is like one of the ultimate Christmas movies.
You had me sold with Alan Rickman.
Yeah, he's in it, and he's married to Emma Thompson. She's in it. She's charming as well. Just a bunch of people. Like, I swear, you look at the cast, and you're like, holy crap, like, all these tons of British people.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, I guess I'll have to check. I guess, it's, like you said, you said it's a Christmas movie, right? So,
big time.
Yeah, okay. I'll just jot that down for my next
All right. Viewing. Well, that was a weird one to end it on. With Love Actually, yeah, that was at the end of our Christmas episode. Love Actually, yeah. I'm trying to think of a cooler one to mention just before we go.
Oh, hey, we mentioned at the start of the show, Christmas Story. Did you see the sequel?
Oh, with Daniel. Wait, I know they made a sequel.
Yeah, Daniel Stern's in it. Yeah, Daniel Stern's
in it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I heard of it. I know, I never saw it.
I didn't want to watch it, but my curiosity got the better of me, and I watched it anyways. And they had the right idea, it was the right spirit of the original, but it was just not that good. it's Ralphie as a teenager trying to drive, and I don't know. I'd rather just not than touch those characters, you know, at a later age, you know. So
there was no way it was going to be as good.
Yeah, yeah. So
like, why bother? But of course, if there's money to be made, somebody's going to bother.
Yeah. Hollywood.
Yeah, I saw that and just thought like, no, not for me.
Yeah. Alrighty, man. Well, oh, go ahead.
I was just wondering when the 83 is when the first Christmas Story came out.
Oh, did we finally?
And here I was. That? Yeah, and here I was. I thought the movie was like 50 years old.
Oh, we were dumb little kids. What do you expect?
Yeah, I actually did get myself a Red Ryder BB gun when I was like 18.
Did you ever try to stick your tongue to a like a cold pole?
No. That taught me a good lesson.
Right.
although I do have a cool little post, like a little. Well, it's like a postcard, but it's an artwork of the flick with his tongue. I'm looking at it right now. It's hanging on my bookshelf. It's just a cool little piece of art of him with his tongue stuck to it. It's just an iconic image.
Right, yeah, it is, yeah. And that's a good thing because it is supposed to be in the 50s. There's a lot of, like classic images that you would see from classic Americana, I guess, from the 50s, you know?
Yeah, and the whole family huddled around the radio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
To listen to a radio show, you know?
You know, it's funny, now they actually make the leg lamp.
Oh, like, yeah, I've seen it all. You can get it like Spencer's or something like that.
Yeah.
The Major Award, yeah. I've always wanted one, to be honest. I thought, if somebody comes to your house and they're like, nice lamp, and they don't get it, get the fuck out of my house.
You're not welcome.
Right now. Yeah, and get out of my house, but don't let the door hit you on the way out, because I don't want any ass prints on my new door.
Loser.
Loser, yeah, come on, if you don't know the leg lamp, yeah. Get the hell out of here.
You don't even know how to pronounce fragile correctly.
Fragile. No, it must be Italian.
Right?
Fragile.
And that's another one.
Every time I hear Jingle Bells, I sing rah 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 rah. That's how I sing it, you know.
Yeah, and that's another
and
one.
People always recognize it and laugh.
Yeah, that's another one where again, watching as a kid, you're all about Ralphie and the kids, what he's getting into. And then, like watching it as an adult, the old man, dude.
Dude, he's like, yeah, this Thanksgiving, I was the dude who kept sneaking into the kitchen and cutting off little bites of turkey.
Yeah.
Just like the dad was. And I'm like, I'm like the dad now. I'm the old guy who doesn't have the patience to wait for the turkey to be done. I'm sneaking little bites of it here and there.
Yeah. And just that scene at the end where, like, the old man's sitting down with the mom and they're just, like, watch, you know.
The lights are all off.
The lights are on.
Oh, that's a beautiful image right there. As you get older,
you appreciate that. Yeah. But,
totally.
That's why it's such a classic.
That's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. You've been in my house. You know my living room. I have all the movie posters and everything. And actually, my wife actually bought me the movie poster for Christmas Story, and I have it up on my living room wall right now. I was going to do all Christmas movies, and I just never got around getting them all. I just got that one. So I have one Christmas movie along with all the other.
Well, Die Hard is a great poster just to add to your collection anyways.
I know, that's what I'm saying, right?
And Gremlins too, like I said, that's a good poster.
Yeah.
I think the Gremlins poster doesn't have like a gremlin holding like a present.
That is one of the posters. Yeah, it's in a box.
It's not holding a present. It's like in a present box.
Yeah, it's in a box, and you can see the hands coming out of the box. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm going to be slowly adding on to my collection of movie posters for Christmas.
I've always wanted to do that too. I always thought, when I was a teenager, I had nothing but movie posters, just like stapled to my wall.
Yeah.
But when you get a certain age, you know, you can't just have things stapled to your wall anymore.
All right. Unless you own your own house, then you can do whatever the fuck you want.
I don't mean like that. I just mean, you know, it's a certain age. You know, you can't just have a mattress on the floor. You got to have a bed frame. You got to have frames around.
Yeah.
I guess you just got to have frames for things, for your bed, for your poster.
Yeah, right.
Once you get a certain age, once you get in your 30s, you need frame.
You need structure.
You need structure, be it a bed frame or a picture frame or something like that.
That's so true. Okay. Yeah, we're old. We're old now.
Yeah. Okay, well, now I'm gonna put on something Christmassy because I got the holiday spirit.
Well, we just rattled off like 20 freaking movies, so.
Yeah. I just gotta figure out which one.
Anyone you go with, man, it's going to be good. I mean,
would you say Ghostbusters 2 is... wait, does that take place at Christmas? No, it didn't. Wait, didn't it?
I don't...
For part of the movie?
Did it? I'm
trying to think. I'm trying to remember if there was... For some reason, I have some images of Christmassy stuff.
I do, too.
Anyway. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a Christmas movie by any, not the way like Gremlins or Die Hard is.
Yeah, this is, I'm looking up some stuff. Yeah, Ghostbusters 2, the most overlooked holiday film.
Oh, really? Oh, dang. Yeah. I can't even place anything Christmassy about it. It's just
I don't either.
The vibe I have for it in my head.
Maybe it's it's in your subconscious. That's what it was, yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, the movie ends at New Year's. So it was around Christmas time when the majority of the movie took place. So there you go. Yeah. You're right.
Did you ever see Fred Claus?
Yes.
You did? Is that it? I never saw it.
Don't.
it didn't look that good.
I watched it because
Paul Giamatti, who I like, was in it. That was the only reason.
Yeah, I watched it because Vince Vaughn, and I'll give him the shadow of the doubt for something. But, man, he was... It's the same Vince Vaughn that we get in every movie, and it was just in the Christmas setting, and he was doing his same sarcastic skit that he always does, but with elves.
He's just being Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah, he's being Vince Vaughn with elves. That's pretty much what it is. It should have been called...
All right.
Yeah, it should have been called Vince Claus. I don't know. But anyway.
Elves is her hand. Edward Scissorhands is Christmassy, right? A little bit?
It's got the imagery of it. Yeah, I would say so.
Like the last act of the movie is at Christmas time. And he's, you know, he's making all the snow angels and shit and everything like that. And that's kind of Christmassy.
Yeah. Like I said, the imagery is there. I think of the poster artwork for it. And like him, the profile shot of him in the background. The snowfall and everything.
Yeah.
It can be perceived as a Christmas movie. Sure, why not?
Okay. Because, like, most of it, it's only, like, the last, like I said, the last act of the movie is Christmas.
But there you go.
All right, yeah, well, we could be here all day just questioning, what about this one?
we're probably boring the audience at this point, but, yeah, whatever. All right. But, all right, well.
Is any still left?
Right. I think we got an episode here, so I think we're just going to wrap this one up here. Thanks again, Xavier, and your it's always fun hanging out with you and shooting the shit, I guess.
Yeah, for different was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll see how this one comes out on the audio with you being over the phone. Hopefully we can do more of these like this, so. But so until then, thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Remember to tell your friends to like us, subscribe to us, download us. And until then, always remember to pop your culture.
Merry Xmas.
Sing like this. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Try again.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Ra 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 ra.
Stop. Sing something else.
But you see,
what?
It's smiling at me.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yes.
That Christmas would live in our memories as the Christmas when we were introduced to Chinese turkey. All was right with the world.